the hymnal, 498. Ready? With every breath, with gift of grace, is Jesus my redeemer. There is no hope for heaven that you can give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless need. To the night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stand. I labor hard in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To lay aside, oh, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will be. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ. I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. And he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me. Until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Oh, the glory evermore to complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you, Jamie.
All right. We're going to be in Acts 2, but before we do that, I'm just going to open us with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to
meet together to open your word and by the power of the Holy Spirit to understand it. Help us to be encouraged tonight by this passage that's before us about the beginning days of the church. Help us to understand what it is that you want us to understand from it, and just give us help. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, finishing up the last few verses here. I'm going to read them, and then we'll just have a few comments on it. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, starting in verse 40, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So as we were talking about last week, the book of Acts is a book of movement. It's a new beginning. It's a something different that God is. It's a different way that God's working in the world, and he had been working with the nation of Israel, and now he's doing something different. His Spirit's living inside of people, and this new man is animated and is working and is moving in the world. And so this is just sort of the continuance of that. But as I was thinking about this this portion, I was thinking, I think it can be like my theme phrase would be, it's a season of simplicity, single-mindedness, and specting. Specting. Are you familiar with that word? It's like arithmetic. So it's the three S's: simplicity, single-mindedness, and expecting. Expecting, expectancy. They're meeting together daily. They have everything in common. They're carrying on with the breaking of bread, fellowship, apostles' doctrine. They're all in. All of them are all in on this. And I was thinking about the first point of it's a season of simplicity. Simplicity being there's no problems, right? Like we're reading this and they're all together and everything's happy. And I was thinking, why is that? How is it that a group of people, if you get six people together and say, "What should we have for dinner?" It's not gonna work. What topping should we have on our pizza? Like you're going to get six different answers. And yet here they are living in one accord, living in harmony with each other, living united. And it's this really simple season. The problems that we're going to find out about later, they don't have yet. They haven't developed. And I was wondering, why is that? And I think the answer is partly because they were all new believers, all of them. Like, if you've ever been around a new believer, everything is awesome. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing and how he's working. And they haven't had problems yet. They haven't had the need for a book like Philippians yet, where there's disunity. They haven't had the need yet for a book like Galatians, where there's people who are trying to impose legalistic doctrines on the group of the new believers, and they haven't had to deal with that. Like, everything is new and everything is awesome. And it's this wonderful season of unity and growing but it is a season as well. Season of simplicity. They're totally focused on the task at hand. They're enraptured with their Savior's love and the peace that they have and the assurance that they have in him. But they, like, we wish that this was the end. The end of chapter two is the end of the book, right? Like, and then they lived happily ever after. And we've been just glorying in it ever since. Like, every believer has, you know, this is just the way that it goes. But then, you know, chapter three happens and the rest of the book happens. It's a season. And I was thinking about this in my own life. I was just talking with somebody recently. I just remember the first time that it really sunk in what salvation was and what the Lord was like. He was working my life. I was about 13. I went to church and I sat and I was listening to the pastor. I was like, holy cow, this makes sense. Like I was listening and I understood what he was saying. And up until that point, it had been, I don't know, it had been the thing that we did on Sunday. And then all of a sudden it was like, this makes sense. And you get the sense that that's what's going on here. It's like, oh wow. Like the scriptures make sense. Like Jesus, like it all makes sense. It's all coming together. And there's this intense joy that is associated with that. And just the simplicity that comes along with just believing and living in close community with other people who are like-minded. And it's a wonderful season. It's a great thing that they got to enjoy for a time. Single-mindedness. I was thinking about that. Again, you know, if you get a group of people together and it's hard to be single-minded, but I was thinking, how is it that they were able to kind of do this? But the plan was, according to Jesus, it's going to start in Jerusalem, go into Judea, go into Samaria, and then to the ends of the world. So this, at Pentecost, this is, as chapter 2 calls it, it was, and they're dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under the sun. So these are all Jews, devout Jews who are hearing this. And these are like-minded people. They have similar cultural beliefs. They have similar religious beliefs. They have similar experiences. They have some, like, everything about this specific group of people, they were as common as a group of people can be, right? If you look around our chapel, I was talking to somebody else about this recently. It's incredible. Just in our gathering, we have people from Malaysia, India. We have the Congolese families. We have people from, Ruth is from Ireland. We have people from, I'm from Alaska. That's practically another country. We have people from all over the world. Like, we have like 150 people here, and we have like five continents represented. Juanes, whenever he's here, obviously from Colombia and other, like, we have people from all over the world, and it's incredible how a gathering this size can be that well represented. But with that comes differences, and we have to learn how to live in community with each other, because we're all coming every Sunday, every Wednesday, whenever we gather, with different expectations, and they're unspoken. And it's an expectation, because you're just, that's what you're used to, or that's what's normal for you, or that's what, whatever. And like, but as far as a group of people is concerned, they all had the same expectation. Like, all of these people were very similar, united in thought, united in experience, united in values, united in shared history, expectations. They're waiting for the Savior, and now they find out that he's come. And so there's this single-mindedness, because they're all, again, they're all kind of the same group of people. And so they're new believers. They're all from shared worldview. And so that sort of lends itself to single-mindedness. Once you get out into Samaria, once you get out into the rest of the world, those changes or those differences are going to start to creep up. And that's where we, you know, that's where we see the book is going. That's where we see the need for some of the later epistles that happen, where it's like, hey, we need to be united. We need to keep Christ the focus here, because otherwise we're going to tear each other apart. And so this season for them is extremely sweet. It's sweet in simplicity, sweet in single-mindedness, and in expectancy. They were under the impression that Jesus was coming back soon, and they were living that way. They were not. I think if you would have asked them, they wouldn't have seen 2,000 years passing between Pentecost, or between the Ascension, Pentecost, and his return. All throughout the New Testament, it's in there. He's coming back, like, and it's soon. So it's important how we live, because we don't want to be caught not serving him, not living for him, because he's coming. And it's going to be imminent. And so how they were living was clearly with that in mind. People are selling their property. They're giving everything that they have. If they would have known, like, I wonder if they would have known, like, he's not coming for 2,000 years, if they would have behaved differently. And I wonder if that creeps into the way that we live sometimes, where it's like, I just wonder if I genuinely thought Jesus could, like, actually come back today, like, if that would change anything that I would how I would live. I don't know. I'm not saying it would. It's just something that I think about sometimes. So they're in this season of simplicity, this season of single-mindedness, this season of expectancy. I was thinking about seasons. I was thinking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a season for all of these things. You know, there's a season for life. There's a season for death. There's a time for these things. I was thinking about in 1 Peter chapter 4, when he says, I'll just read it. Chapter 4, verse 12, when he's talking about, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. There's this season of intense fiery trials that they're going through, but it is a season. And I was thinking, actually, I think that's what today is what he was referring to, a fiery trial, 100 degrees outside. Maybe tomorrow too, but it's a season. It's not something that's going to last forever. And in the same way, I think that we have to be careful when we look at the book of Acts in general, but especially in this particular section. I think we sometimes want to turn this into a formula. We want to say, well, they were preaching the gospel, they were baptizing, they were following the apostles' doctrines, they were fellowshipping, they were breaking bread, they were in prayers. And so if we have all of these elements, then we're going to have the kind of success that they're having. But I don't think it's that way. I don't think it's that way at all. I think this is a record of what happened. I don't think it's a formula for what always will happen if the circumstances match this. I think that every church has seasons. I think every individual's life has seasons. I was really depressed recently for a couple weeks. And whenever that was happening, it's easy to want to be like, well, the problem is me somehow. I'm not doing what I need to be doing, or I'm the wrong kind of person. That's typically like where my mind goes. I'm the wrong kind of person. And I think we all have seasons in life. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. The important thing is the perseverance, the consistency. And it's I don't think we can turn this into a formula. I don't think we can say, well, if we have all of these things lined up, then the results are going to follow. I think sometimes it's just a season. And as we see from the rest of the books, there's going to be all kinds of seasons. Sometimes the gospel is going out in droves and people are coming in and they're knowing the Lord. And sometimes it's like they're getting, they're not getting results. People are actually quite against what the either Peter or Paul are talking about. Like there's all kinds of different things that take place. The importance though is the continuance. John Duckhorn one time told me, he was saying this to me, he's like, whenever you get into like your midlife, like there's going to be times where you just feel dry and you just feel you're just not getting much from the word or life is just hard. And he's like, it's not a problem with you. Like everybody goes through it and you just have to kind of like endure, you got to keep going. And I've really appreciated him telling me that. Cause Jamie and I talk about one of the things that we didn't feel like anybody ever told us is how boring life is. How monotonous it can be. You just get up and you do the same thing every day and you have these little kids and they don't learn. And it's just like every single day is the same. And you just feel like you're going to go crazy. And then you start talking to other people and it's like, yeah, that's my experience too. And then there's some comfort there, but like, we all go through these seasons. We all have them. And we have to remind each other that like, it's okay. Like we've all been there and we have these really great seasons in life. We have them and they're wonderful and we want them to stay, but they don't. And when things go south, that doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem with you. It just means that the seasons have changed. I would love for winter to stay all year round. I love winter and it doesn't, it gets hot and things, it doesn't matter what I do, the season changes. And that's the same thing that's going on here. It's a wonderful season and they can appreciate it for what it is. And they're clearly enjoying it, but it is just that. And that's really my encouragement to all of us today. As an individual, if you're going through a hard time, it's a season in life. There's a start and there is an end to every season. If it's the worst season you've ever had, then at least we know that one day we'll be with the Lord. And most likely the season is not going to last until then. Like there's going to be a better season that's coming as well. In this lifetime, it's not necessarily assured, but we see that life is full of seasons, and if you're going through a great time and things then turn and start going bad, that doesn't necessarily mean that things that there's a problem with you or that whatever. Like it just might be the next thing that comes along. We can't control the good times and we can't make sure that they keep happening, but we can control our efforts. We can control our attitudes and our actions. And that's really just the encouragement that I have for you today. Wherever you find yourself today, keep going for the Lord. Keep going, because this is if it's bad, it's most likely going to get better. And we're assured that at the end, it will be better. And if it's great, don't be discouraged if things go bad. Keep going. That's all that we can do. That's all that I have. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this book that records the true events of history that you have broken into the world, and you have disarmed sin, you've disarmed death, you have defeated them, and you have assured us that by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also can experience those things, and we look forward to that when we get to enjoy those things fully. But even now, we are just so thankful that even in this life for a while, we get to enjoy those things, even if it's not in full measure. Thank you for this group of believers. Thank you for the faithfulness and the blessing that they have been to me personally. Thank you just for this opportunity that we have now to pray together. And thank you that you hear our prayers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Well, thank you, Luke, for your thoughts on these seasons of life and encouraging us to continue and things.